It's Sunday morning, time for the great outdoors with Charlie Potter. Brought to you by the all-new Chevy Silverado and ChevyDriveChicago.com on Chicago's very own 720 WGN.
Good morning. Welcome to the Great Outdoors Show. Charlie Potter, your host here on WGN Radio. This morning, I'm going to talk about an issue that, well, it's happened to some places of the country, but it's very local to the Chicago area, and that's the subject of horse stables. And in this case, I'm talking about a very well-known horse stable in Palatine, Illinois, which is in Cook County. So for those of you listening around the Midwest or around the globe, hope you'll bear with me. This is actually a story that I think has interest from a global perspective, as it really touches on the management of public facilities and their attachment to communities, and how community support of the public facilities, park districts, is critical to their long-time success. So Palatine Stables in Palatine, Illinois, in Cook County, was established actually in the 1950s, and it was purchased by the Forest Preserve District in the 1980s. The facility has for a long time provided, obviously, horseback riding. It's an equestrian facility, but it's done something much more important than that. It's been at the core of therapeutic riding programs to help children and adults recover from traumatic injuries. And as many of you listening may know, therapeutic horseback riding is actually a recognized medical practice. It has been proven time and again to help individuals with disabilities and illnesses. There's something therapeutic about getting on a horse. I've ridden all my life, but I do it for mental therapy. I just love being on a horse. But for physical therapy, it is extremely important to a lot of people. And the Palatine Stables has been at the forefront in providing hope and a better quality of life for individuals who benefit from therapeutic riding. And for any of you, as I've had, who've had a daughter who loved horses growing up and ridden all of her life, you know the joys that horseback riding can bring to kids, bring to adults too. So the Palatine Stables, the Palatine Board, Park District Board, which is actually a board, but it's obviously in Cook County, so you got the Cook County Forest Preserve District involved. It decided, virtually without any notice, in May, that the stables would be closed. They would be shuttered, and that there would be no more horseback riding at a facility that now for over 50 years, actually 60 years, has provided substantial services to the community. In the vote to close this, it was nearly unanimous, except for one board member who said, interestingly, she knew nothing about this, and how could the rest of the board know anything about it when they voted on May 13th to close the stables? That began what I guess you can only call a heartening and well-organized grassroots effort by individuals in the region and actually across Lake and Cook and Kane counties who utilize this stable to come together to request that the board revisit its decision and come up with some substantial reasons that the stables should be closed. The board has countered and said, well, the stables need over $2.1 million in upgrades and maintenance. I'd ask all of you listening, whose fault is that? That's what these boards love to do. That's what counties love to do. They don't pay any attention to ongoing maintenance requirements, and then all of a sudden they're faced with a big bill, and they either raise taxes or they close the facilities and say it's too expensive to maintain. I think a lot of the onus, if there is deferred maintenance on the Palatine stables, is on that of the county, on that of the Palatine board, and in fact, probably on that of the Cook County board as well. There is no reason to have deferred maintenance if you're running a county or a municipality properly, correct, if you're running it correctly. All of us know if you don't maintain the roof on your house, you're going to have a leak, and it's only going to get worse, and it's going to cause structural damage. And next thing you know, you've got a far bigger problem. Well, that's what happens with so many publicly owned facilities. They don't maintain them until there's a real problem, and they've just pushed the bills down the street year after year. So Palatine Stables is suffering from that. But I have a feeling that what is happening here is that the community is letting its voices be heard. And they're saying there are ways around this. $2.1 million is a lot of money, but it's also not a lot of money. There has never been, to the best of my knowledge, there's never been a private fundraising effort permitted for the stables. They've never gone to the community and asked for community involvement. And now the community is being faced with the closure of something that's really been a big part of its life. And hopefully by talking about it this morning on the Great Outdoors Show, and I know, well, lots and lots of people listen in the Chicago area, not just around the Midwest and around the country. In fact, because of podcasts around the world, but particularly in the Chicagoland area, we have a lot of listeners. And this could be, it happens to be one of the only publicly owned stables left in Illinois. There are other stables. They're privately owned. This happens to be a publicly owned stable. But this can happen to other facilities that park districts are charged with maintaining and operating, and then they decide that they don't want to do it any longer. So the community, I think, has spoken. There's been a fair amount written about this. But it would be really wonderful if the Park District Board of Palatine or the Cook County Board, whichever one wants to seize the initiative, said, wait a minute, we have something unique here. You can't just go ride a horse anywhere in northeastern Illinois anymore. And you can't have therapeutic riding anywhere. In fact, therapeutic riding programs are completely oversubscribed where they're offered. There's a huge demand for it. And so this facility is actually offering a service to the community, a health service to the Chicago area that is really hard to find. And why would we close that loop? Why would we say, I'm sorry, you're going to have to go get your therapeutic riding somewhere else? And there really isn't somewhere else to go. This is so you can come at it from the point of view of the riding stable is important, the community, to the thousands of people over the years that ride there, to the hundreds that ride there every week. They're affected. And you can come at it from the point of view of what about all the money we spend on medicine, the tremendous amount of money we spend on helping disabled individuals. And here's a facility that's sitting right there that does it every day of the year and has for years. And it's gotten a little bit down at the heels, not because the users of it did that, but because the county board, the Park District Board of Palatine, didn't pay attention. So maybe there's something behind this that hasn't come up yet, like there's some other use that they want to put it to. If that's the case, the Park District Board should come forward and say, you know, we actually think it would be much better to be used for basketball or maybe pickleball, and let the community decide what it should be used for. I have a feeling that we have not seen the last chapter here, but I do think it's a great testament to not only our democracy, but also to the individuals who passionately care to say to elected representatives, wait a minute, you've done something here that is out of keeping with, out of step with this community, and we want you to revisit it. So hopefully the Palatine Park District Board is going to revisit this, and we'll find a way to keep the stables open. We shouldn't close one of the last stables left in northeastern Illinois when we have the opportunity to keep it open and to serve so many people, and particularly to serve individuals who are at the most disadvantaged, those who are suffering from real physical disabilities, for which therapeutic riding is a means and a proven method to improve the quality of their lives. So hopefully that takes place. Before I go to the break, which will be just in a moment, I want to just tee up what I'm going to talk about next, and that is the subject of the overreach, perhaps, or the changing of tide, if you will, of sentiments about public lands in America. It's a very, very complicated, I'll try to make it simple, story that I think is going to be playing out not only now, but well into the future. And then I have a great quote from the New York Times that I want to start off the next segment with, which makes you wonder when you pause, when you read a newspaper, did they really write that? Thanks for joining me, and good luck to the Palatine Stable. I hope that you do have a chance to have your issue revisited, and for all of us across America that deal with park district boards and community organizations, it's a reminder that before we make decisions, we should engage the community and figure out if there's not a way to come up with a better solution than maybe some individuals who have an agenda without engaging the committee arrive at. This is Charlie Potter and the Outdoor Voice of Chicago and America, 720 WGN. And now a message from our longtime sponsors at Northwest Indiana and Chicagoland Chevrolet dealers.
Hiking, camping, and hunting, it's all an adventure in the great outdoors, but nature can be tough. You need to be ready for anything and everything. Chevy Silverado is built to handle the toughest conditions and get you everywhere you want to go worry-free. Silverado's designed to handle the big jobs. It's built for the great outdoors. With over 13,000 pounds of towing capacity and trailering sway control, Silverado can haul the biggest loads on the roughest roads and keep you cool as a Sunday drive. With 8 available cameras and up to 14 different views, it can spot trouble before it gets to you. That's peace of mind. And when you're ready for the backcountry, Chevy Silverado 1500 ZR2 owns the off-road. You name it, we run over it. No wonder it's Motor Trend's 2023 four-wheeler pickup truck of the year. So see your Chicagoland and Northwest Indiana Chevy dealer or go to ChevyDriveChicago.com and check out a Chevy Silverado. It's freedom to explore the great outdoors.
It's Charlie Potter and the Great Outdoors on Chicago's very own 720 WGN.
Welcome back to the Great Outdoors Show. Charlie Potter here. Hope that you've been enjoying the first part of the show. I promised you as a teaser that I would start off with a quote pulled from the New York Times that really makes you wonder, does anyone proofread these articles? So the New York Times, as it's been doing, it seems like every day is writing a feature article on climate and global warming and the sky is falling, and it may be, but every single day the New York Times is telling us that we're headed for just record heat and things are terrible. Okay, you can write about that, but how about being accurate at some point here? So they wrote an article on Thursday in the New York Times about the heat wave that was now the heat dome, as they call it, gripping parts of the United States. And they talked to individuals around the country, and they talked to an individual in Iowa. Here's the quote, quote unquote, "Corn is supposed to be knee high by the 4th of July, but it's already higher than that." I'll spare the Iowa resident's name from going on the air, although he was quoted in the paper. Let me think about that. Corn is supposed to be knee high by July 4, but it's already higher than that. And that quote is used in the context of an article to explain how the warming of the climate is causing things to be so out of whack and corn to grow so tall so fast. Well, I would say not so fast. I had the benefit of growing up on a farm. I know what corn is like. And it was always higher than the knee on the 4th of July, even as I was an adult. Certainly I was a kid. But there's a reason for that, and it has absolutely nothing, 100% nothing to do with our climate. It has everything to do with crop varieties and fertilizers and genetics. If a farmer only had knee-high corn on the 4th of July, they're out of business. And they've been out of business for the past 60, 70 years. 100 years ago, sure, when corn bushels in 1926, the average corn bushel yield in America was 26 bushels to the acre. I suppose it's possible that if you got the corn up to your knees by the 4th of July, you had a whale of a crop. Well, in 2024, when the average corn yield per acre is pushing 200 bushels, almost 10 times what it was 100 years ago, you don't have any kind of corn crop if your corn is only knee high by the 4th of July. It better be over your head in many cases. And in many cases, it is over your head by the 4th of July, depending on where you are. So I just point this out in the context of, I don't know any more than anyone else does what's happening with our climate. But I do know this. You have some responsibility in reporting. You have to have some legitimacy in what you're saying. And there's a lot of legitimacy in what people are saying. But don't pick a guy off the street and give him the credentials. It doesn't even say if this is an Iowa farmer. It just says an Iowa resident. Don't give them the credibility of saying, well, we have tremendous global warming because the corn is more than knee high. Anyway, enough on that. I want to go now to a subject that I do think is going to be transcending America for years to come, and it might very well begin to show up at the ballot box this November. Sagebrush Rebellion, which I've talked about was famous for during Ronald Reagan's era when essentially the West woke up and said, we are not taking this anymore. We are going to stop being pushed around by the federal government. Well, in Idaho, one of the largest wind farms in the country is being proposed. And it's being advanced by the Bureau of Land Management. And I talked about this a while ago, but I have an update on it. It's being advanced by the Bureau of Land Management. And it was opposed by every single entity that has any jurisdiction over this in the state of Idaho. There is no one in favor of it except for the individuals who are going to make some money off it. So Bureau of Land Management listened to the comments and they thought, well, this is not so good, maybe, that we have such opposition to this. But doing what the government does best, they sometimes just put their head down and keep going. So here's what happened. They cut the size. Headline is BLM shrinks distributed disturbed area to half the original proposal. Well, if your original proposal is destroying pristine vistas and also impacting all kinds of wildlife, and you decide you're going to cut it in half, have you cut the impact in half? Not according to the Attorney General of Idaho, who is now suing the Bureau of Land Management, and he has the support of the congressional delegation in doing so. And Congress is moving towards having a law come before it that would be incredible if it was signed. And I can guarantee you, and not a political statement, but I can guarantee you the Biden administration will not sign this law, because it will blow up their renewable energy plan for the American West, which relies on public lands to provide all of these sustainable energy sources from wind and solar, which the local communities don't want, and they can't get placed on, they cannot have them placed on private lands, because private landowners, by and large, don't want these projects. So the sustainable energy plan that is anchoring the current Biden administration's, again, not a political statement, but anchoring their objectives, is based on having millions of acres of public lands become wind farms and solar farms. But a law is working its way, or legislation is working its way through Congress, that says if the Bureau of Land Management or the Forest Service or any public entity wishes to place a renewable energy project on public lands in that state, that the state delegation and the governor must sign and approve that project before it can be completed. That is going to be the end of this massive land grab to have sustainable energy take place on public lands, because states aren't going to approve them, because the people who live in these states don't like them at all. Much more on this in the coming weeks. Thank you so much for listening. I hope you've enjoyed the Great Outdoors Show. Have a great week in the Great Outdoors. I'll be back next Sunday morning with much more on the outdoor world. This is Charlie Potter on the Outdoor Voice of Chicago and America, 720 WGN.